Revelation chapter 6. And again, we are with the Apostle John and the Lord in heaven as the Lord is showing him the devastation that will come upon the earth in the future, as God sends his judgments on the total evil and wickedness going on. And again, sometimes we wonder why God has not done this already. But the thing is, the things that we're experiencing now, the chaos and the violence, that's from the God of this world. But God's judgments are going to be very different. So in verse 12 of chapter 6, John says, when he, Jesus, opened the sixth seal, that's the sixth seal on the scroll that Jesus held. And behold, John says, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of the heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. And then the sky receded or split apart as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And so as John watched this, Jesus open the sixth seal of the scroll, he begins to see some terrifying things as the Lord's judgment really comes upon the wicked and evil earth. And now again, we have to be reminded from time to time that John did the best to describe things he'd never seen. But it all starts with a great worldwide earthquake, which undoubtedly brought upon many things, such as, you know, maybe volcanic eruptions as the earth is shaken and things are moved, you know, and fires, you know, that will probably produce so much smoke that to him it seemed that the color of the sun was black, right? And the moon red. Now, again, this is a great earthquake, worldwide earthquake. But if you remember, back in 2004, I can't believe it's 18, 19 years ago, but there was a tremendous earthquake, like a 9 on the Richter scale in the Indian Ocean. And, you know, it really moved things where the epicenter was. As far as island, land dropped, and they found, I think, in the ocean where the earthquake was below that, you know, it split, and one part was raised up maybe 15 feet. That's how much the earth was moved. And that caused, you remember, a great tsunami. Huge waves. Incredible. That killed over 200,000 people. Over 200,000. They thought it might have been closer to 300,000 people. We can't even imagine that or wrap our heads around that. And this is just one small earthquake. Not small, but, you know, and so we see these types of events and the things that happen. They don't seem so far-fetched. But the stars John saw falling from the sky, again, remember, these are God's judgments. May have been meteorites that the Lord had rained down upon the earth. Now, to give us an idea of the destruction that would cause, in 1908, one meteorite fell to earth. And thank God it hit in a really desolate part of Siberia in northern Russia. And it basically exploded before it hit the ground. But it flattened this forested area in a 25-mile radius. 25 miles, everything was flattened. Just one meteorite. Now, like I said, with the Lord raining down, whatever he's raining down, John, again, sees stars falling from the sky, you know. That could possibly be it. But we don't know exactly what John meant by saying that the sky rolled up like a scroll or split apart. But he sees the world is coming apart, and it's absolutely terrifying, to say the least, as we'll see. And in verse 15 of Revelation chapter 6, John says, "And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains." And said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come. And who is able to stand?" And so with all that's happening and whatever is coming down out of the sky at this time, everyone, no matter who they are, they tried to hide in caves or maybe whatever kind of shelter that they could find. And these are the ones that have rejected and denied God and his son Jesus. Well, at the same time, they were embracing Satan and his ways on the earth. And in their terror, we see they would rather the mountains fall on them than have to face the Lord and his wrath. But the interesting thing is, about this, even though people have rejected God, and people say, still to this day, there is no God, he doesn't exist. Even though they've rejected God, these people understood that what was going on were not natural events. They couldn't be all at the same time. But they knew that God's judgment was behind all of these things going on. That's pretty wild. And, you know, I've heard how many people that, you know, were atheists. And then on their deathbed, who do they cry out to? You know, God. But here, with all that's going on, the judgments that God is raining down upon the earth at this time, because of the rebellion in people's hearts, people still refuse to change. There's still no confession of sin or crying out for mercy. They're saying we'd rather die than face God's judgment. And again, we're in Revelation chapter 6. Now, as we go through these parts of Revelation with God's judgment coming upon the sinful world, how can we know for sure that these things that John is seeing, that he's having visions of, how do we know they're going to take place? How do we know? Well, there's certain things that have happened that we can look back and see what God did. And in one day, on May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation and a people again after 2,000 years, over 2,000 years. Now, we may not think much about that, right? It's the big deal. Israel became a nation again after 2,000 years. Well, first of all, that's never happened in the history of the earth, that a nation that had been, didn't exist anymore, revived and became a nation of people again. But the thing is, even before that happened, that day, there had been a great migration of Jewish people to that land from all over the world, especially Europe. Okay, so both of those events prophesied in the Bible a couple thousand years ago. Both of those events, people coming from all over the world back to the land, and Israel becoming a nation again. So let's turn our Bibles to in the Old Testament. Let's turn to Amos. It's towards the back of the New Testament. After Joel, before Obadiah. Amos chapter 9. And Amos was a prophet of God back in the Old Testament. And so, you know, God spoke through him to the people. And in Amos chapter 9, verse 14, God says through him, I will bring back the captives of my people, Israel. Because if you remember, because of Israel, their disobedience to God, God allowed them to be taken over by other nations, taken captive. And God says, I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. And I will what? Plant them in their land. And no longer shall they be pulled up, for the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. He talks about, in verse 14, planting vineyards and drinking from the wine. You know, at Israel, at one time a few years back, I don't know about now, but they were a major exporter of produce and flowers. And that land was basically desolate. But here's a prophecy talking about that. Now let's go to the left out of Amos, to Daniel, then Ezekiel, chapter 34. And again, we're going through these scriptures because we asked the question, how do we know the things that John is seeing in Revelation? How do we know they're going to come to pass? So Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11. Ezekiel, prophet of God. And he says, for thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. He's talking about how God will seek out his people that were scattered. And we know after the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed, the people scattered throughout all parts of the earth, the Jewish people. But here God says he's going to seek them. and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered. In verse 13, and he says, and I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own lands. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and in the valleys and in the inhabited places of the country. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. And so here in chapter 37, the prophet receives a vision in which Israel at the time was seen as scattered, dry bones, scattered. And in this vision, God tells Ezekiel that the bones, meaning Israel, would be brought back to life. So in Ezekiel 37, verse 10, Ezekiel says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet in an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from the graves. And I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. And then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. And so just as Ezekiel had prophesied about 2,600 years ago, the Jews were brought back to the land and the country of Israel was brought back to life in 1948. And that was only 3 years after the end of the Holocaust, during which time the Nazi killed about one third of the world's Jewish population. If that wasn't the enemy, Satan, the devil, I don't know what is, trying to thwart God's plan. It didn't work. Of course not. But even with these prophecies, before the 1940s, no one believed that Israel would ever become a nation again. Like, there's no way. Even Bible scholars questioned whether that would even be possible. But they wondered about these prophecies. How could God put these prophecies in the scripture? We can't see this happening. But it did happen. And so we can count on God's word being true as far as everything he tells us about salvation, about heaven, and about his judgments that we see in the book of Revelation that are going to come upon this earth. But don't forget, literally within hours of Israel's Declaration of Independence, within hours of that, Egypt, Syria, Jordan, Iraq, and Lebanon invaded Israel militarily. Think the enemy was mad that God's prophecies came true? Think the devil wasn't mad? Absolutely. So within hours of them forming their own nation again, that were attacked. And the total population of those countries was about 20 people at that time. You know how many people were in Israel? About 1 million. And those countries all had military. Israel had a military, but of course it was brand new. Brand new. Yet, Israel won the war and expanded the size of Israel by 50%. And then in 1967, Israel took control of Jerusalem for the first time in about 2,000 years. And that war lasted only 6 days. And so we see God's word is true. But Israel becoming a nation was also very important for another reason. And that's why people couldn't understand before the 40s. You know, these prophecies are in there. But these prophecies have to be fulfilled before the return of the Lord Jesus and the rapture. So they're like, something's wrong here. Israel has to become a nation before the Lord returns as far as prophecy is concerned. But they did become a nation. And that was, again, the last prophecy to be fulfilled before the Lord would return for us, as far as the rapture is concerned. And so with the Jewish people back in the land that God gave them, and we still see the enemy trying to mess with them, right? Iran saying they want to wipe them off the map. You know, in some Arab countries, you know, on a map of the world, Israel's not even on there. To them, it doesn't exist. But with the Jewish people back in the land that God gave them, that tells us here today, right now, we're in between. We're in between Israel becoming a nation and the Lord returning. And so that tells us we're living in biblical times. We're living in the end times. And that's a big deal. A big deal. You know, we're in the age where the Lord can come back any moment. And again, I don't know what everybody thinks about that. What's going on in your life? I've heard Christians say from time to time, well, listen, I don't want the Lord to come back right now. I got too many plans. I got things to do, things I want to accomplish. I want the American dream with the house and the white picket fence and the wife and the kids and the job and the vacations. He can come back later. And some of us, right? I mean, we're in life, right? We're doing life. But because we're in this world, you know, this is all we kind of know as far as substance, right? And even though this earth is fallen and contaminated and nowhere near the way God had created it for Adam and Eve, God still gives us, he has mercy on us and still gives us enjoyable things. As far as food, I mean, you know how many different kinds of fruits there are that are awesome? Just that. Sometimes I eat a peach a really good peach. And I'm like, man, this is like the best. And then I'll have a watermelon, or I had pineapple this week. Ah, it's the best. You know, so many different things God has given us to enjoy. Right? We look at a sunset. A lot of people, like, I heard somebody, people have traveled around the world seeing different sunsets in different countries because they love sunsets. I don't know. It's just a ball in the sky, right? But people love sunsets. But God has given us that for enjoyment. I like mountains, snow-capped mountains. I've hiked in many places with mountains. I love the mountains. That's my thing. Some people like the beach, the ocean. Right? So many different things that God has given us to enjoy on this wicked earth. So we can imagine if he gave us this or allowed us to have this now, even though we're sinful people and we live in a sinful world, a fallen world, imagine what he has for us. You know, some people have the idea, well, it's going to be like, you know, if heaven's going to be like church all the time for eternity, that's not for me. Again, we have no idea. But I know. God wouldn't have something worse. So much better. So much better. And so let's go back to Revelation. And so coming back to Revelation here, we come to chapter 7. And now through John's visions of Jesus breaking the sixth of the seven seals of the prophetical scroll, we've witnessed the world being under, again, an incredible storm of God's judgments. And the seventh seal will be broken in chapter 8, revealing another judgment. But as bad as the times will be that we just read about with this great earthquake and all kinds of things going on in the future on this earth, as bad as those times were, believe it or not, we haven't seen the worst of the suffering and sorrow that is coming upon this world. Because after the seals are broken on this scroll, there's going to be seven trumpets later on in Revelation that will sound, with each representing more of God's judgments. And after that, seven bowls will be poured out, with each bowl representing even more of God's judgments upon the earth. And God's not playing in Revelation. He's a God of incredible love and mercy, is he not? Absolutely. If he loves us, he is an incredible God. And he is merciful, but he's also a God of wrath and a judge who punishes evil and sin. Do we think he wants to do that? Of course not. Talked about this, I believe, last week. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world. Again, he's not talking about the beaches and the mountains and rivers and streams, sunsets. God so loved the world. He loved the people of the world, who each and every one is a sinner. He loved the world that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? That whosoever, out of all the sinners on this earth, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. whosoever. He doesn't want to punish evilness and sin. He wants everyone to come to repentance and put their faith and trust in him. But because he's still a God of wrath and a judge, again, he has to punish sin. I mean, you think if we ever committed a crime and we went into the courtroom and the judge sees us and he knows us. He goes, "Hey, Joe, how you doing? I haven't seen you in a long time. What are you here for? Ah, blah, blah, blah. Don't worry about it. You're okay. You can go." Would that judge be a good judge? No. The judge is supposed to prosecute those who have broken the law. And we've broken God's laws. But he is merciful. But he still has to punish. And the thing was, or is, that God punished his own son instead of us. Again, growing up, I didn't know that. I believed in Jesus. I knew about Jesus. But I didn't understand that. I didn't realize that. That Jesus on that cross that was on my kitchen wall for 20 years, I didn't realize he did that for me. He took the guilt and the punishment for my sins personally. Because if he didn't, what's that for us? Damnation. We're doomed. And so if people don't receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior and apply that faith, they're not going to make it. But the thing is, you know, sometimes we're like, well, I'm saved. All I know is I'm saved. Without any thought of anyone else. I'm guilty of it. We want to be like Jesus, right? We say that. But Jesus loved the world, and I'm still struggling with that. The things I see on television with people and the crimes they're committing and the evilness. How do I love that person? We try to understand it for what it is. We call sin is sin. But we forget Paul was a murderer of Christians. And God saved him, right? And he goes on to write most of the New Testament. And so, again, we know it's important. Most important thing is that we're forgiven our sins. But before these other judgments come in Revelation, there is a pause here in chapter 7 before the seventh seal is broken. And the focus becomes who is in heaven and what is happening during this judgment time. And there's going to be two different groups of people that John will see in heaven. And, of course, there's references to God the Father, the Son, references to angels there and creatures and the 24 elders, but two different groups of people we're going to see. Because if you remember, at the end of chapter 6, as God was pouring his judgments out upon the earth, in verse 17, we saw the unbelievers. They tried to hide themselves and cried out, "Who is able to stand or who is able to survive?" And chapter 7 is kind of set apart from the rest of Revelation and seems to answer that question. When these judgments are going on, we covered it before in our previous studies, the rapture has taken Christians out of this earth, away from this earth, allowing the Lord to rain down these judgments upon the earth. But there are going to be people who get saved. And God willing, we'll talk about that next week. If not, we'll be in heaven. But again, that rapture could happen any time, really. And again, there's been movies made about that, you know, how it's going to be on the earth and all these different things. We don't know. With Christians gone, Holy Spirit's gone, churches are basically gone, but there's still going to be people. And I have to research this. Something in my mind tells me, I don't know if it's in Israel. Maybe it was a while ago, again. That there were people, they went and hid Bibles in different places so that when the rapture did come, that people would be able to find them and maybe read the scriptures of what is going on at that time during the Great Tribulation. So anyway, as we close, just thinking about where we're at in biblical times, we certainly are in biblical times. You know, for our own spiritual walk and for the concern of others' spiritual walk. It should be in our lives. You know, concern not only that, you know, we're walking as we should, we're living as we should, and helping other people maybe see the light before it's too late. Before it's too late. And again, there's nothing wrong with enjoying the things that God gave us. He gave them to us, right? Absolutely. He gave them to us. But it's the over-prioritizing of those things that get in the way. So, God help us, you know, in these days. You know, that He be on our minds and our hearts more than anything else. Not replacing everything else, but just more than everything else. Just remember, look what He sacrificed for us.